been talking about the Apostles' Creed. And last week we began the process of breaking it down. And so during worship last week, I had really a, because you know, you're like, well, I'll do this week. And then like God just says, no, we're going to change up the whole plan. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to take your time with this. And so we're going to go a little bit slower. We're not going to speed through this, and we're not going to give God Almighty 1 week. Amen. So, amen. And we're not going to give Jesus 1 week. Amen. We're not going to give the Holy Spirit 1 week, right? So we're going to talk about these things because these are the core things of what we believe. Amen. This is what we're all about, and we need, I mean, there's some crazy, I don't know if you know, but there's some crazy doctrine out there. There's some wild thinking out there. And honestly, the biblical literacy is really like super low. Like people don't know their Bibles. And let me just say, one of the things that we want to do this year, so I've been praying about, God, what is your word for our church this year? You know, last year it was grow, and we felt like we will not just grow numerically, but grow like as people of God, and grow in our understanding of the word. And so we did several things to help with that last year. And so I was like, okay, Lord, that was grow, that was last year. And it was almost like, you ever hear that thing about when you know, the guy goes to his wife and he says, you know what, I love you, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know, right? You know what I mean? I mean, if you've ever heard that kind of joke, if I love you, I told you once, and if it changes, I'll just let you know, right? That's bad. That's not, don't do that. But I felt like that was almost like what the word said from the Lord was. He said, though the word is grow, and if it changes, I'll let you know, right? So I feel like that we're called in this season. I want us to grow. God said, Jesus said, go into all the world and not just make converts. He said, make disciples, right? Not just make more Christians. He said, make disciples, people who look like Jesus, right? Who act like Jesus, who know the character and nature of God. And so that's our heart this year, even with the Bible studies that's coming up, and I'm going to personally do some things with some guys, and we're just going to grow, amen? Let's just grow this year. And let me just say, so if you don't know who Abraham is, right? Maybe you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, right? And you're like, I know the guy's name, Abraham, and I know he has something, he's like the father of our faith, I know those kind of things. I don't really know how he fits in with the story of the Bible. We need to back up and say, that's okay, but we're going to learn. We're going to learn, we're going to understand, we're going to grow in our understanding of the word, amen? And so that's kind of my heart this year, and just join with me as we endeavor to grow in our understanding of the word, amen? Praise God. Amen? All right. So, we've been listening. We talk about the creed. Go back and listen. We're actually, you can find us now on Spotify. We're like super cool now. And you can find us on our YouTube channel. And if you want to find our all of that information, it's on our website. There's a tab that you can go. Amen? But last week, we began with the phrase, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And let me just read this scripture that we read last week to give us a remind us of who our God is. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, excuse me, verse 10, starting with verse 10. And this is where David is, he had gathered all of the, David prays and says, God, I want to build you a place. And he said, no, that's for your son. Your son's going to build the place, right? But what David does is he goes and gathers all the material. I love the zeal of David, right? He goes and gathers all the material to set up his son, right, to go and do it, right? So here is, they're gathering all this stuff, and David just kind of erupts in this worship. He said, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise to you, God, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours. It's yours. Like Jessica was saying a minute ago, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Yours is the kingdom. You are exalted over as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. We read that scripture, and the idea was we need to open up our eyes and see God for who he is. We talked about that last week. We also read that wild, crazy scripture in Revelation last week where there's lightning and there's a throne of God and there's wild creatures bowing down to worship God. Like God, we said this word last week that God is not like us. He is other. And somehow, in a crazy way, we carry his image. But in the other sense, he is other. He is not like us. He is our great and mighty God. Amen? Amen. And the more we see, the more we need to see God. This week, even from last week's message, this week I've chosen to look at God, and we'll be in this message, but I've chosen to look at God in a different way. I chose to look at God that way this week instead of just going, yeah, God's my buddy. He's just always with me. Yeah, that God who is all-powerful, right, is with you. That's amazing. It changes perspective, right? So I want to encourage us, so we're going to dive into that a little bit more, but it was a little bit of a different flow. I want to encourage you this morning how amazing our God is and that God we serve, watch this, this is so amazing, that God, in all of his glory, interacts with humanity. We are not, Christians do not believe, we do not believe that God is just some, you know, the big guy in the sky, right? He's not just the, he's just not some, you know, great power that's not involved in our lives. He is actively involved with our lives. As a matter of fact, if you, if you read the Bible, the story of the Bible is exactly that. That God interacting with humanity, right? Yeah. It's all the way through the Bible. That's what the story of the Bible is. It's God's interaction with humanity, culminating into the person of Jesus, and to bring about his will and his glory, that his kingdom would come on earth. Yeah. That's always been the plan. And actually, if you read your Bible with that understanding, it brings the Bible so much more alive. That's always been the plan. Yes. Always been the plan. Right? Mankind, believe me, has hugely failed. Right? And we still do. But God's plan is to bring his kingdom here. Yeah. His ways, his purposes. So that's the story of the Bible, is God's interaction with humanity. Isn't that amazing? Think about, now rethink about the God that we read about last week in Revelation. Think about that fact that God owns it all. And that God wants to interact not just with the world, with you. Personally. That's amazing. That's amazing. So God is the Almighty God, right? The first time that we actually hear God himself call himself God Almighty is with Abram, which will obviously be renamed Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, so this context is, if you know the story of Abraham, so they're going to have a baby and they're really old, right? And so they figure out, well, God's probably not going to be able to do all this, so let's just go with the slave girl, the servant girl, and we'll just, Abraham, you can, you know, and to have a baby with a servant girl, right? Brilliant, right? So that's a bad idea. And that's a complete, utter failure, right? But right after that is this scripture. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. The word in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. A lot of us have heard that term before. It's El Shaddai. Actually, there's a lot of craziness about the definite of what that really actually means, as I've been studying that out this week. But the basic idea is what the translators have always said through almost every translation that you can find. It is God Almighty. There's some ideas of personal, like, right? Personal, that he is almighty for you, that kind of idea. But the idea that he is El Shaddai, I'm going to believe all the Hebrew translators who have always said he is God Almighty. Amen? The most obvious expression of God's Almighty is the fact that he is creator. He is the maker of all things in the universe, including us, including you. All things were created through God's power. You know, I think about this stage, and I think about when we had the shutdown last year, and we made this stage. And it was amazing. I was thinking about, like, how those who are involved in making the stage, praise God, it's awesome. This is an awesome, solid stage. But I remember actually the process of making it. You know what? We didn't just say, like, here's nothing, and let's create this nothing and make a stage out of this nothing, right? We had material. We went to the store. We bought the lumber, right? We got all the stuff. We got all the nails. We got all the stuff. We got the carpet. We got the flooring. We got everything, all the wiring that's under it. Like, we did everything. We made it out of stuff that we already had. See, God made it with nothing. Nothing. Out of nothing, He created everything. That's amazing. That's our God. That is our God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says it this way. He's the builder. The builder of all things is God. He is the maker of everything. He doesn't need to go and borrow this from this other universe or whatever. He has it. He makes. Not only that, is the creative God. I mean, the creator God. He's the creative God. He has, like, before there was ever a dog, God said, I know exactly what I want to do about this. But before there was ever a tree, God says, I know not just one tree, but all the multitudes of trees. And then God really likes me, so He made dogwoods. I love dogwoods. Right? My favorite time of year is when the dogwoods bloom. And then all that, He's the creator, but He's also eternal. He's from infinity to infinity. He's like to infinity and He is. He's God. He is from infinity to infinity. He is God, and He's God all by Himself. And then He does wonders and miracles. He comes to Abraham in the moment of all the doubt of Abraham and all the doubt of Sarah and says, let me remind you who I am. I am the Almighty God. I can do whatever I want. Nothing is impossible. He's the God of miracles. He's the God that nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing. Like, what else could there be that would be too hard for God? Like, do you know whatever situation you're in, God's not up in heaven scratching His head trying to figure out, what am I going to do about that? Yeah. No, He's Almighty God. Yeah. He is Almighty God. The term, like I said, is introduced when it seems impossible. And then the angel says to Mary, right? For nothing will be impossible. Mary says, Mary as in Jesus' mom, right? Like how Mary says, how can this be? Right? How is the eternal God? Like, and then, like, she says, I've never been with a man, right? How is this going to be? And God and the angel said, for with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. See, God, this Bible, the story of this Bible is God interacting with humanity personally, globally, and personally interacting with us. That should grab your attention. That God is for and with you. And in Exodus chapters 3 and verse 7, to prove this kind of all out, God in all of His power, He says, watch this, He says this. He says, the Lord said, this is when about the bondage of Egypt, right? He's preparing to release the people of God from the bondage of Egypt. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Don't just think of that as the history, right? Think of that as you now. That He has seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And what's this? In the NIV it says, I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Right? His promise is not just to deliver them, but actually to put them in another place. Right? It's part of the Abrahamic covenant. Right? So he wants to give them a place. He wants to pull them out of the bondage. But hear that amazing thing that God, in his almightiness, says, I heard. And it concerned me. And now I'm going to do something about it. That God can hear, he can be concerned, but he's going to do something about it. Right? Because of the covenant. Right? Because of the covenant. And then we see the working out of his promise. Right? In Exodus chapter 14, in verse 13, this is God's deliverance through the Red Sea. When this is all culminating, it's all happening right here, right? It says, Moses answered the people and said, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. He will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord, let me say, for your situation, the Lord will fight for you. And you only need to be still. Like there's some things that we can do, but like they're minuscule in comparison of what God wants to do through and in you and through you, in your situation, in the stuff that you're going through. Like the scripture says, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Because that's our God. Our God is Almighty God. And so if we just see God, like here's the thing. Sometimes I think this is what we do. Do we have a responsibility? Yeah. Yeah. There is a submission to God that's part of this whole thing, right? It's part of the deal. That we submit our lives to him. We seek first the kingdom of God, right? All of those things. There's our part definitely to them. Do we need to be people of faith. We need to believe God. But ultimately, it's not on you. It's on him. He is the one who works miracles. Do you speak the word? Absolutely. Speak God's promises. Remember God's promises. Let the promises kind of reignite your heart. But at the end of the day, it's God who's going to move. And if we see our situation and we just see, well, this is my job, this is what I got to do, this is what I got to do, and that's all we see, we miss the bigger picture. That it's not about just me. It's not about what I can do. It's about me, God interacting with me to bring about his will. It's powerful. And it's not the little small God. He's the great, amazing, powerful God who nothing is, who made something out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. Right? That's our God. He interacts with us. It's amazing. It's amazing. I want to stir your faith this morning. Amen? And then the Almighty God invites us to trust him. He invites us into part of his story to trust him in all of these things. It's amazing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to read a ton of scripture, so just hold tight. Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 5 through 7, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, do not lean on your own understanding. You hear that? Trust in the Lord, and don't lean on your own thinking. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, right? You see, the God's part, your part, but it's the big God part that fixes all the stuff, right? Now watch this. We talk about the Almighty. Psalms 91, verse 1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Boy, that should just bring you comfort. That I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Some of us, some of us have been Christians way too long, and we've forgotten how great our God is. That we've just become religious in our thinking. We've just become, oh yeah, yeah, I'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, he's my buddy. No, 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 the Almighty God. Right? Some of us, we just need to kind of, God, would you just, like Paul, God, would you peel the scales off of our eyes of religion? And yeah, I've heard that before. And God, would you just melt my heart to who you are once again? God, if we just take a moment and just repent and say, God, I'm sorry for making you small. God, I'm sorry for forgetting who you are. You're Almighty God. Psalms 20 and verse 5 says, may we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May God grant all you request. May now know this, God gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with his victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. For he has brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. And in Psalms, verse 3, it says, Lord, how many are the foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver them. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I call to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down, and I sleep, and I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. You see David's full trust in God. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Man, if you've seen that new King Kong movie, King Kong versus Godzilla trailer, there's just a great scene. I can't wait to watch this movie. I'm such a geek. There's this great scene where Kong just like rears back and just gives him a right cross, and I love it. For the Lord, like, let us strike them, my enemies, and break the teeth of the wicked. Oh, don't you want the devil's just teeth to be broken? Amen. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. Psalms 34 and verse 19, the righteous may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen. Come on, church, raise our faith this morning. Your God, maybe you've been thinking your God is too small, but God says, I want to open your eyes and see God in a new way. Amen. Trust in the God who is the Almighty. He hears our cry. Have faith in this promise. There is nothing impossible. God is our Almighty, and God is interacting with us. No wonder the psalmist says, why, soul, why are you so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. Listen, God is wonderful at making the impossible possible. Like, if he can give a baby to old people, he can provide for you. If he can part the waters, he can move any mountain that's in your way. If he can raise the dead, he can heal a body. Our God is Almighty God. If he can bring deliverance to a whole group of his own people out of Egypt, he can set you free of any bondage, any addiction, any issue, any wrong mindset. He is the God of deliverance. Tonight we're going to talk in the men's about the God is a God of war, and he's warring on your behalf. That's amazing.